Welcome to Section 3C, Evaluate and Choose Your First Niche. Now, if you have not yet done the brainstorming exercise, please stop this video right now and go do it. So, once you've done all of this brainstorming, you need to now pick your first niche. So this is going to be a process of some evaluation, and then at the end of this chapter, you're going to actually choose the first niche you're going to be working on. So the first thing you need to do in the process of picking your first niche is to let go of this idea of the right niche. You want to identify the right now niche. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to take that big, long, honking list that you created and sort the list and pick kind of the top 3 to 6 ideas, okay? And I'm going to give you some criteria for how to choose that. But while you're doing this logically, I also want you to be paying attention to how you're feeling. You may find that when you look at your list that certain niches kind of glow almost. They look exciting. They look interesting. They look intriguing. They pull your attention back to them over and over again. So pay attention to that. You want to be choosing from niches that you're already involved in. Jerry Goldstein, in her book, How to Be Your Own Booking Agent, talks about a singer-songwriter that she worked with who was a nurse. And she ended up pursuing a nursing niche, not because her music was about nursing, but because she was very active in the nursing community, and that led her to all these gigs. It's a really cool story. I recommend the book and reading about it. So you want to choose niches that you're already involved in. Choose niches that are an obvious fit for what you uniquely create. So, for example, if your music is children and family music, then you're not going to go necessarily after girls from age 25 to 35, right? You're not going to necessarily go after that niche because it's not really the obvious niche. You might go after grandparents as a niche because they are buying music for their grandkids. So that's the kind of thing you want to really be thinking, what is an obvious fit for what you uniquely create. I have a client who has a Celtic band, and one of the niches we talked about very seriously were the dance competitions that used Celtic music. They apparently have all these competitions, so that could be a niche that he would go after because it suits specifically the kind of music he creates. You want to be choosing niches that you already know a lot about. You know who they are, where they're hanging out. If you have niches that you already know a fair amount about, they should be high up on your list. And I strongly recommend, and I said this earlier, don't start with the hard ones, even if they're romantically cool, okay? Even if they're shiny. If you think breaking in there is going to be really hard, don't start there, okay? Let's go for the low-hanging fruit, okay? You're going to be doing research on several niches. Like I said, 3 to 6. I wouldn't go more than 6 because it's just going to be too time consuming. But then you have to choose. And I recommend you choose one. Choose one niche. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about this initial research. Now, this is not where you're doing the in-depth research where you really get into their heads and find out what makes them tick and all of that stuff. All we're doing now is enough research to be able to identify and choose the first niche you're going to pursue. So you want to be able to identify where are they hanging out. If you can't identify where they're hanging out, it's not going to be a good niche for you because how are you going to get in front of them if you don't know where they are? You want to use Google, Facebook, Yahoo Groups, Ning.com, LinkedIn, Directory of Associations, all of these resources using kind of the name of the niche that you came up with in your brainstorming and see what shows up. If you find a ton of stuff for that niche, that's going to make that niche good. So if there's a lot of Facebook groups devoted to that niche or Yahoo groups, if LinkedIn has 4 or 5 groups that seem to be focused in those areas. If you go into the directory of associations and you can find a local, a regional, a national association for this group, that's going to bode well for that being a good niche to pursue. You want to be creating a swipe file for future reference. What's a swipe file? All a swipe file is a Word document or an Excel document where you cut and paste the addresses that you find in your initial research. So if you find an association, put the name of the association, put the website for the association, put the Facebook page for that association, put that all into your swipe file, because why recreate the wheel? Once you've chosen your niche, you're going to want to be able to go back to all of those things and do a lot more research. Don't fritter away the time that you're spending now. Document it so that it makes it easier to come back to it. Also, because you're going to be researching 3 to 6 niches, you're not going to remember where these things were, okay? And just because you don't pursue niche 4 right now doesn't mean you're never going to pursue it. You may come back to it and say, okay, that's my next niche. So all of this initial research will help you get started in pursuing that second niche, third niche, fourth niche. So create a swipe file for future reference. You want to be able to answer the following questions in order to identify your first niche. And if you can't answer one of these questions for a particular niche, that should automatically drop it down lower in priority, okay? So first of all, again, do you know where to find them? Have you been able to figure out where they're hanging out? Do they self-identify as a group? And if they do, what name do they use? So for example, in the last 2 years, I became aware of a niche that I didn't even know existed. I guess I knew they existed because I knew some of them, but I didn't know that they self-identified in this way. And the fact that they do now really actually makes them a much more useful niche. And that's WAHM, Work at Home Moms. Okay. And they actually, if you Google WAHM, you'll find a ton of stuff because they self-identify by that hashtag of WAHM, Work at Home Moms. It's really interesting. So do they self-identify as a group? And more specifically, what name do they use? If you, in your initial research, were thinking about environmentalists, and in your research, you notice that really they refer to themselves as green, then you want to shift and use that keyword in your research. Because if that's how they're identifying themselves, that's also how you're going to better be able to find them in your searching. And finally, are there organizations, associations, and publications that target them? And do those organizations, associations, and publications have live events? Because if they do, that's going to make it a lot easier for you to physically get in front of them, okay? So that nurse that I started talking about earlier, the way that she developed this niche was kind of a little bit by accident. She was involved in her local nursing association. They were having a gala event. She was on the committee for that event, and she said, hey, are you guys looking for entertainment? Would you consider me? Because she's a singer-songwriter. And they said, oh, we love that idea because you're one of us. And so they booked her, and it was a paying gig, and she played her gig, and she sold a couple CDs, and she got some new names on her email list, and that was great. The regional association reps went to that local event to support the local association and said, hey, we're going to have a regional conference. We'd love to have you come and play because you're one of us. So great. She booked that gig. She went there. She sold some CDs. She got some new names on her email list. The national organizers for the nursing association saw her and said, hey, you want to come play at the national association event? Great, sure. She played there. As a result of all of the fans that she got from these gigs, because they were not just fans because they loved her music, they were fans because she was one of them. Do you get it? They identified with her. And so as a result of that, they wanted her to come play in their town. And she was able to book house concerts across the country as a result of these gigs. How did she get these gigs? Because that was her niche. Okay? If there are organizations, associations, and publications that target or serve your niche market, you want to get involved with them. Okay? So you need to, now that you've done all of this research, really identify, is this a good niche? Is this right now niche that I'm thinking about a good niche for me? And some of the ways that you can identify whether or not it's a good niche for you for now is that figuring out where to find them becomes obvious. Like, it just starts being easy to figure out where they are so you can get in front of them. The idea of connecting is no longer overwhelming. It's actually interesting and exciting. And the methodology for connecting begins to feel organic, clear, and doable. And that's how you know you've got a good niche. You need to use your gut. Is the idea of contacting them attractive? Do you relate to this group? Do you want to hang out with them? Are they your kind of people? Do they align with your values, your passion, your BOP? And again, we're going to talk about that more when we get to that step. But really, the more you feel connected and relaxed with them, the more you feel like you can be yourself because they align with your values and your passion, the more successful you're going to be with this. Bottom line, are you excited about working with them? Look, if the idea of working with them makes you just curl up in dread, that's not the right niche for you. This should be fun. This should be exciting. This should be inspiring. So then the real question is a heart question, not a head question. You've done your research, but the ultimate choice is going to come down to your heart, your intuition. The truth is that there will never be anyone exactly like you in the world. So who are you a gift for? Who is waiting for you to arrive exactly as you are right now? Often, people who feel on the verge of having a breakthrough with regard to their purpose or the niche market that they're uniquely suited to serve find that a simple series of questions can open things up for you. Is your mission actually a lot bigger than what you've been imagining? Or maybe it's smaller and less ponderously important seeming or significant than what's been in your mind's eye? Is the niche market you are considering actually bigger than what you have thought of so far? Or maybe it's quite a bit smaller and so much less intimidating. And if it weren't important to have a niche market, who would you want to be playing and working with now?